But when I began to study the Word, I began to love history. Because this history is living history. It's life-changing history. And so I want to take you over to Acts chapter 10. If you remember, Peter is in Joppa, the house of Simon the Tanner. And Cornelius is an Italian. He's Gentile. So Peter has been fasting. Maybe, I don't know if you fast long enough, you know, there comes a time when mayonnaise on a stick sounds pretty good, right? But I don't know how long he may have been fasting. They were preparing food, but he was up on the roof. And he went into, the Bible says, I know the King James says a trance, but I think he's in the spirit. And we know about the four-cornered sheet with all the unclean animals in it. And the Spirit of the Lord speaks to Peter and says, rise, kill, and eat. No. Happens a second time. Rise, kill, and eat, Peter. Second time, no, I'm not doing that. I'm a good Orthodox Jew. I don't eat anything unclean. Third time it came down, he said, rise, kill, and eat. Peter, don't call what I've cleansed unclean. But he's given him a lesson from the traditions of the law to go into, because he knows who's coming. Some representatives coming. Cornelius has seen a vision. And while Peter's heard and seen a vision, Cornelius is seeing a vision. I want you to know the Lord is on purpose. He doesn't do anything by accident. And the Bible says that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, the truth is confirmed. So he says to Cornelius, he said, your prayers and alms have come up before the Lord for memorial. Send men to Joppa. There's a man named Peter staying in the house of Simon the Tanner. Call for him. He'll tell you what you need to do. And so we know that Peter shows up at Cornelius' house. He goes with them, and this is how it begins to unfold. Because he goes in under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Verse 34 is the beginning of that. Verse 38 is the key verse that I want to show you. But there's a lot connected to this. And it says, Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. That's good news for us. Now, this is the American Standard Version. But in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is acceptable to him. The word which he sent unto the children of Israel, preaching good tidings of peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, in parentheses. Preaching good news. That saying you yourselves know, which was published throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, even Jesus of Nazareth. Now listen to what it says. How God anointed him. That word anoint means to smear or to rub, to furnish what is needed. But it means much more than that, because the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And with power. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Notice how he connects healing to this warfare. Notice how he connects healing to the oppression. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom also they slew, hanging him on a tree. We're about to celebrate Resurrection Sunday. Him God raised up the third day, gave him to be made manifest, not to all the people, but to witnesses that were chosen before of God, even to us, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he charged us to preach to the people and to testify that this is he who is ordained of God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him bear all the prophets witness that through his name, everyone that believes on him. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Everyone that believes on him shall receive remission of sins. That word remission means to push back. It means to push back and push away. But you understand, John said he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He didn't just bring a Band-Aid and just a temporary fix, but he completely washed away those sins. So he says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them that heard the word. There's an accompaniment with the word of God. There's something that happens that's spiritual, that is life-changing, and there's a shift that takes place when we hear the word of God, because the word of God is the anointing, the anointed word of God. It's what Hebrews says, it's living, it's powerful, it's quick, sharper than any two-edged sword. And Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And the disciples, after the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42, it says that they went everywhere preaching, and they went from house to house breaking bread, and they continued in fellowship and the apostles' doctrine. Now, what was the apostles' doctrine? It was the words of Jesus. That's what it was, the words of Jesus. We know that theology is the fact. Doctrine is the why. For God so loved the world is the fact that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life is the doctrine. So you begin to see that he says, they of all the circumcision that believe were amazed, as many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid the water? This has happened before they were baptized. That these should not be baptized who've received the Holy Spirit as well as we. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they prayed that they would tarry with them certain days. It's so amazing. Now, turn over with me to 1 John 3. And I want to read this from the Passion, the first few verses. Now, I want to tell you that I don't... there's some translations that you have to really do the research, even in the Passion translation, but the King James as well, because it takes so many English words to define the Hebrew, and that Jesus spoke Aramaic. He didn't speak Greek, but we know that the scriptures come translated from the Greek, because the Greek's pretty strong too, but it's important for us to allow the Holy Spirit. Jesus said he'll teach you and show you all things. So it's important to have him on board, because he's a genius. He's the author of this word. And so in 1 John 3, remember John's the one that wrote about himself, the disciple that Jesus loved? So he's qualified to write these verses. And then we'll go to 1 Corinthians 13 in a moment. There's some things there I want to show you. Then probably to Psalms 91. I love it. Look with wonder at the depth of the Father's marvelous love that he's lavished on us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has lavished on us. He's called us and made us his very own beloved children. The reason the world doesn't recognize who we are is that they didn't recognize him. Beloved, we are God's children right now. Come on, we don't grow into that. We're born into that. I felt a streak of glory. We're born into, we have his DNA. It's not something we strive for, something we already have. It's a discovery that we come to know. that because of our faith in all he did. The reason the world doesn't recognize him because they didn't recognize him. Beloved, we are God's children right now. However, it's not yet apparent what we'll become. But we do know when it, now that's a poor translation, when he is finally made visible, we will be just like him, for we will see him as he truly is, and all who focus their hope on him will always be purifying themselves just as Jesus is pure. Now, go with me over to, first let's go to Psalm 91. Remember, Peter is preaching and says how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Well, there's a connection to the Abrahamic covenant in Psalm 91. It's one of my favorite psalms, but there's some things I want to pull from there, that this week has been one of those weeks when this really spoke to my heart. Because it says in the American Standard Version, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of Jehovah, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions. That's the part of the bird that gives him direction. It's feathers in the King James, but it means, if you look up the definition in the Strong's, it's pinions. It's the part of the bird that gives him direction. He'll cover you with direction. Whoa. So he says, under his wings shall you take refuge. His truth is a shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. He's pretty well covered it all. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Another translation, it will not touch you. Only with your eyes will you behold and see the reward of the wicked. For you, O Jehovah, are my refuge. You've made the Most High your habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling, your tent. He'll give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. This is covenant now. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and serpent shall you trample under feet. Now this is speaking of our adversary and all the demons. They're terrified of you. I want you to know right now, they're terrified of you. And it's important that we know the authority that Jesus has given us. Because he said, it shall come to pass that, in Mark, he says, you shall cast out devils. You speak with new tongues. You lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. It's amazing, the promises of the covenant. So he says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Remember 1 John 3. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. 16 verses of the most beautiful promises to you and me that we can embrace because of Jesus, because of this season, because what Peter preached to Cornelius and his house when the Holy Spirit fell, about he was nailed to a tree and buried in a tomb. And on the third day, God raised him up and gave him authority. And so that's been transferred to us. Now, let's go back to 1 John 3, 4. This speaks of the character of those who are his children. He says, this is pretty plain. Anyone who indulges in sin, That word sin is habitually sins, is what that is denoting, or lives in moral anarchy. For the definition of sin is breaking God's law. Whoever commits sin commits evil, for sin is absolutely evil. That's Aramaic. That's what Jesus spoke. So he says, you know without a doubt that Jesus was revealed to eradicate sins. Remember 1 John, Acts 10. He was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. He says here, John is agreeing. And you know, without a doubt, Jesus was revealed to eradicate sins, and there is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live in union with him will not sin, habitually sin. That don't mean we won't mess up. Because he tells us in the first couple of chapters, if you do sin, which is a conditional word, you have an advocate with the Father. And so he ever lives to make intercession for us. But he says, but the one who continues sinning hasn't seen him with discernment or known him by intimate experience. Amen. Delightfully loved children, I love this. Don't let anyone divert you from this truth. The person who keeps doing what's right proves that he's righteous before God, even as the Messiah is righteous. Now notice the comparison. How do we keep doing what's right? Because we are in him. And he is righteous. And there's a transformation that happens from the inside out. And when we are truly converted, it's not going to be a struggle. It won't be, I'm telling you, it's amazing. Because he has no respect of persons, and he empowers us to live that way, to enjoy this journey without missing the mark, without living outside the blueprint or living in that place where we become like the world. It's amazing how many churches, you know, I'm not naming churches, but there's churches in other places that have become so much like the world. They've become so much like the world. And because they think that's going to draw people. And yeah, they'll have a crowd, but it's not changing anybody's life. Because if we become like, you know, it's important that we know that he didn't create us to fit in. We're born again to be conspicuous, to stand out as a vehicle of change, to be an instrument of his power, to bring the message. Jesus said in Matthew 5, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Wow, look at your neighbor and tell him, I can't be hidden. I'm going to shine, shine, shine. Yeah, that's it. Shine on. So he says, but the one who indulges, because the devil's been sinning from the beginning. The reason that the Son of God was revealed was to undo and destroy the works of the devil. To undo and destroy the works. Now, what are his works? Everything contrary to the will of God. Is it the will of God for you to be healed, to be emotionally well? Is it his will for you to be blessed in everything you put your hands to do? Is it your will? Is it his will for you to dwell in the secret place of the Most High? Is it his will for you to be satisfied and to enjoy a long life that he said, I'm going to give you a long life and show you my salvation? I want you to know one translation says, I'm going to give you a long drink and throw you a party. Come on. You understand that it's his will for us to live without the baggage of the worry and the anxiety that the enemy wants to bring because of circumstances. You know, circumstances are temporal. Peter says it. Same one that preached in Cornelius' house said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial as though some strange things happen to you. Because there's a far more exceeding weight of glory that's going to be revealed through it all. And I'm telling you, God has a way of turning things around. And you know, so many times I've kind of tried to paint a picture and put a time limit on it, right? God, please deliver me. But anymore, I pray this. Lord, you know where I am. So I'm asking you for the grace to navigate through this ever how long you want me to. Give me the grace to continue to be who you called me to be without being changed by it. Come on, somebody. Without being changed or affected by it so that I can bring glory to your name. And let me, that frustrates the devil. It destroys his works. It absolutely does away with his plot and his agenda. So he was revealed to undo and destroy. You know, anything that's broken can be repaired, right? He didn't say to break the works of the devil. He said destroy. When you get something that's destroyed, you can't find the pieces. And so it says, everyone who is truly God's child will refuse to keep sinning because God's seed remains. That's a Greek word. Within him, and he is unable to continue sinning because he has been fathered by God himself. Whoa. Or she has been fathered by God himself. Wow. I remember back in the early years, in my 20s, I made a decision to go in a place, and I remember being there. It was, I'll just tell you, I was in a bar. And I was in that bar, and all of a sudden I felt, I mean, his seed is in me, right? Yeah. I said, Lord, if you'll just let me get out of here, I'm done with this. If you just please forgive me and let me get out of here, because the atmosphere is not conducive to life. Men love darkness rather than light. So you understand, if his seed is in you, you can try, but you can't. You can't move. I'm telling you, he's doing the work. So here's how God's children can be clearly distinguished from the children of the evil one. Anyone who does not demonstrate righteousness, now that is translated justice, and show love to fellow believers is not living with God as his source. And he goes on. This is beautiful. Let's read verse 11. The beautiful message you've heard right from the start is that we should walk in self-sacrificing love toward one another. We should not be like Cain, who yielded to the evil one and brutally murdered his own brother Abel. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's righteous. Remember, Cain offered God second best. He didn't give him his very best. He gave him the whatever gift it was because his heart wasn't right. But Abel gave him the first fruits of his livestock, which was accepted by the Lord. So don't be shocked, beloved brothers and sisters, if you experience the world's hatred. Yet we can be assured that we've been translated from spiritual death to spiritual life because we love the family of believers. A loveless life remains spiritually dead. Everyone who keeps hating a fellow believer is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. That's pretty strong language. So let's go down to verse 19. We know that the truth lives within us, because we demonstrate love in action, which will reassure our hearts in his presence. Whenever our hearts make us feel guilty and remind us of our failures, we know that God's much greater, more merciful than our conscience, and he knows everything there is to know about us. He knows me better than I know myself. He still loves me. He still loves us. My delightfully loved friends, when our hearts don't condemn us, we have bold freedom to speak face to face with God. My delightfully loved friends, when our hearts don't condemn us, we speak face to face with God, and whatever we ask of him, we receive because we keep his commandments. What is commandments? Two of them. Jesus said there's two, that all the law and the prophets, the commandments hang on. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and the second one's like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You got to love yourself before you love your neighbor, right? Why? That's not pride and arrogance. That's respect because he created us in his image. And so it keeps us understanding this beloved identity. He says, so these are his commands, that we continually place our trust in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, that we keep loving one another just as he's commanded us. For all who obey his commands find their lives joined in union with him, and he lives and flourishes in them. We know that and have proof that he constantly lives and flourishes in us by the Spirit that he has given us. Now, I want you to know something. I want you to know that he knows our frailty. He knows our humanity. He knows our frame. He knows everything about us. We're here because he wanted us. And because he knows us, he knows everything about us and loves us deeply. That's why Jesus came, by the way. Is because, remember when God wanted to destroy all the people when he came off the mountain with the Ten Commandments? I mean, before he even got down the mountain, they broke the commandments. They had made a golden calf, and they were doing ungodly things there when he came down the mountain, and God knew that they couldn't keep the commandments. He knew they wouldn't be able to keep the commandments. So the commandments and the law were given to us to show us our need for a Savior. To show us how much we needed a Savior. So Jesus comes. He comes to the earth wrapped in swaddling clothes. It's amazing. He was raised from the dead wrapped in swaddling clothes. That's what grave clothes are, swaddling. Come on, he went out. It was amazing because when they went in the tomb, they found the grave clothes and the napkin folded and placed by itself. Then you do know, some of you probably heard me talk about it in Jewish tradition. If you go in a restaurant to eat, if you have to leave for a moment, the way you let the waiter know that you're coming back, you fold the napkin. If you're done, you throw it on your plate. He folded his napkin that was on his head. Let them know, hey, I'm coming back. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Because he'd already promised. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm coming to you. Woo. So when you think about the power and the authority of Jesus in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory, it was God in Christ reconciling the world to himself. It was the Holy Spirit. Remember, through all the prophets, this Peter was preaching in Acts 10. He said, this is he that came as a result of what God told us, who told us was coming through the prophets. All the prophets spoke of this. So when you think about the prophets anointed by the Holy Ghost to foretell, there's two different kinds of prophecy. One is forthtelling, and the other one is foretelling. One has to do with like edification, comfort, and exhortation. That's forthtelling. That's something about us that needs to. I'm telling you, the Lord did it twice to me today. It was amazing. Or it might have been yesterday. I just remember it was amazing because my devotion came up and sometimes you feel the pressure, right? You feel the pressure and the word came, and it was so. And so by the afternoon, I got a text from somebody that it was Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Come on, you understand that the encouragement of the promises of God, all to them that believe it, they are yes and amen. So what does it mean to dwell in the secret place of the Most High? Well, let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sits. That's not too far away, by the way, to the spiritual children of God. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God, the secret place. So you understand that while we're in the world, we're not of the world. And we shouldn't view the world as a place, you know, don't get too comfortable with it. God wants us to enjoy the journey. And I'm telling you, we are so blessed. Wouldn't you say we are so blessed? There's so many blessings to be thankful for. And I think about those blessings. I think about how it's just amazing. Because let me tell you, I told a young man this week at Turning Point when I was counseling. I said, he was trying to tell me about all that he was thankful for. He said, I'm learning, Pastor, how to be thankful. And he's trying to explain to me about all the things. And he said, I can't even explain to you how it happened. I said, well, if you could explain how it happened, it wouldn't be God. Because let me tell you, he loves to do things beyond our comprehension. He loves to do it because that's who he is, but it's out of his love. Let me give you another verse, Ephesians 3, verse 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or think. Whoa. Come on, we can be pretty extravagant with those thoughts, right? But he said he's able to do above that. All that you can ask or think according, now watch this, according to the power that works in you.
Amen.
We're tapped into something, and something's tapped into us. According, and the Bible says, according to the power that works in you, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, world without end. Amen. So look at your neighbor and tell them, we're there. Yeah, we're there. When you begin to understand, he said, now we are the children of God. Now let me tell you something else. Hebrews 11. Verse 1, now faith is. Let's just stop right there a moment. Now faith is. So what's he going to say? Now faith is. Faith is now. Faith comes from the word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. Is also the word confidence, expectation. Philippians 1:6, being confident, pistis, of this very thing, who started a good work in you will complete it till the day of Jesus. According to the power that works in you, to him be glory.
Whew. Amen.
Ooh. Do you understand that power and love cannot be, it's so together. According to the power, and that you can't separate his love from this power. You could say it like this, according to the love that works in you. To him be glory. So, how do I do it, Pastor? You trust him. Let him just be the conduit. I tell people, I got a pipe ministry. I'm just the conduit, right?
Amen.
Just let me be the conduit. You know, you see the lights, but you know there's conduits that's out of sight. It carries the power. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
It carries the source of the light. But we are the phos, the light. And let me tell you, I don't believe we've seen anything yet. I'm really, really excited. Kobe calls me, or he called his mom, and I happened to be walking through the house. He actually drove all the way to North Carolina because he got a booking at a huge church out there to sing. And he got back about 2 o'clock in the morning to Highlands. But every time I say, I love you, buddy. I said, how you doing? He said, I'm doing okay there, brother pastor. And he is a card, you know. But you know, when you think about, I remember him sitting in the living room. We had this little Casio keyboard. He's like 7 years old. And I'll never forget, it's etched in my memory like a snapshot. He's sitting in the floor looking at me. And he's just, he's real serious. He's not smiling because he's serious with it. He's not playing anything, but he's playing. And I knew at that, the reason I remember is because I think the Lord wanted to imprint me with what he was doing with that seven-year-old. I want you to know that he has no respect of persons. And what he's doing with us, it's going to be amazing. So just know this is all about being encouraged tonight. This is about being encouraged. To know that you are extraordinarily, abundantly loved. That love comes because Jesus manifested that. You know, he was manifested to destroy the works of the devil, but he was also manifested to heal all that were oppressed of the devil. That may be the Lord. Tell him I said hello, Sister Cheryl. It's okay. You're good, sweetie. Yeah, it's family, right? Yeah. So it's all good. So does anybody have a question or comment? I didn't lose anybody, did I? It's good stuff, isn't it? It's good. Everything is wrapped in the love of the Father. And we're dwelling right in it. He's in us. We're in him. And the best is yet to come. Amen. I want you to be expecting it. Because let me tell you what he's going to do. He's going to surprise some of you right out of nowhere. He'll surprise you out of nowhere. My wife and I have to tell you this. You know, we are, it's amazing for us. I told a young man just this week, I said, it may take you some time to understand this, but I've come to know something. That all of us may have a need, but I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to get at the place where we have no lack. Let me tell you what that means. That means that we're attached and we're children of Jehovah Jireh. That if you have a need, that's evidence that he's already made provision to meet your need. Nothing shall be impossible to them that believe.
That's right.
So I don't want you to whoever there'll be a testimony that's coming. It'll be testimonies. I told you Sunday, I said, somebody's here that God's going to heal. There's healing come to somebody. I don't know that because I'm trying to impress anybody. I know that because sometimes I hear there's an impression of the Holy Spirit that I know didn't come from me, didn't come from here, came from here. And I want you to know that's his heart. That's his heart. Is to make us completely whole, to bring us to a place where we have no lack.
That's right. Can I share
something? Yes, absolutely.
Jimmy may have wanted to do it, but that's what you get for not coming to church. Steve, brother number two.
Yes, yes.
The oldest, was hurt by the church. He was hurt that his parents divorced, and he just stopped going. As far as, none of us know what his relationship was, if he even has one. There was no evidence of any relationship, but we're not around him all the time. When they were both in the hospital, Lisa, I mean, she was reading her Bible, she was praying and all this, and I don't know what Steve was doing. I still, at this point, don't know where he is in his relationship. So yesterday, all the brothers went and got their haircut. They go to Alan's house, and they all get their haircut. So Jimmy picked up Steve and took him, and then he went to work, and then Daryl came, and Daryl took Steve home, and Jimmy went for his haircut. That said, Joanne asked Jimmy about Steve's foot. And Jimmy's like, I don't know what you're talking about. She said, well, 2 months ago when he came in here, something had happened to his foot, and it's like the skin was like a flap on his heel. The skin wouldn't heal. It's literally like a flap, like a tongue of a shoe. And she said, when Steve got here today, I asked him how his foot was. He said, oh, my foot's healed. She's like, what happened? He says, yesterday I was watching the 700 Club, and that pastor said there's someone out there that's having severe pain in his right foot. If you believe, raise your hand and say, I believe. He says, I believe. Woke up the next morning, completely healed. She says, he looked at his foot, there's not any scarring. It's like a baby's budge. She completely healed.
Wonderful.
That is amazing.
And things like that are going to, I believe, will encourage people that are looking for a sight. You know, that don't know, that don't understand, but I just felt like I needed to share that.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Don't underestimate his timing and his purpose. And so you can be expecting it. I believe we're going to see more of that. Yes. And absolutely. Anyone else? Stand with me. Don't forget 9:30 Sunday morning. We're going to have fellowship and food.